Hare Krishna. So, first of all, welcome to, particularly to Swastarupa and to all of you for this this particular ceremony. We'll begin the ceremony by offering the archana, and then you can put the next piece of sake. So, is there a lady who assists in putting the next piece? So then, we'll speak a little bit about the nature of initiation. And this initiation will be two initiations, the first and the second initiation, because she took those before, and we are, in a way, renewing the vows. That's different than taking for the first time. The first initiation, which is the mantra diksha, or the initiation in the chanting of the holy name, that's the most important. Because that is the one that connects us with our eternal constitutional activity to glorify Krishna. The second initiation, which gives us the Gayatri mantra, is giving us an opportunity to make a deeper meditation on Krishna, and it gives us like a progression of making the connection with Krishna, and takes us to the highest goal in the final Gayatri mantra, the pure love of God as it is displayed by the resonance of Vrindavan. So that deepens our meditation. But the first initiation, or the initiation of chanting the holy name, that is the essence of everything. Srila Prabhupada said, of all the regulated principles, the order of the spiritual master to chant 16 rounds is the most important of everything. That is the essence of the entire process, of the entire initiation. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned that this chanting, he said, it's not an artificial imposition on the mind, but rather it brings us back to our original taste, our original relationship with Krishna. So thus we are returning to our roots. But because we have been in the material world for a long time, and because we are conditioned, because our mind is now under the influence of the material energy, we are not really experiencing the true nature of the holy name. We are therefore chanting the holy name as a sadhana, as a practice, and thus we vow a minimum number of rounds, which is part of sadhana, part of practice, because otherwise we would be chanting all the time. We would just chanting, it wouldn't be possible to stop chanting. In the Chaitanya Bhagavata, there is such a story about one lady, one elderly lady, who was present during a Bhagavatam lecture, and who was just constantly chanting even during the lecture, and to a point where the speaker said, "Why are you chanting during the lecture? You should pay attention to the lecture." She said, "No, it's my tongue. My tongue is always chanting. But it is no problem. I can hear very well while the tongue is chanting." So there is no limit to the chanting, and in that sense, on the pure spiritual platform, when we actually appreciate the chanting of the holy name. Thus, the essence of this whole ceremony is really the chanting of Hare Krishna, and yes, and that is really the most important connection that is there. Our spiritual master is representing Krishna. He is the, sometimes it is said, the external manifestation of the super soul. Srila Prabhupada says that as we are becoming more and more purified in spiritual life, we become more and more open to the dictation of Krishna, the dictation of Krishna from within. And thus we should be more and more dictated by Krishna from within. But we take it that the spiritual master's dictations are just the same. He is also, Krishna is speaking through the spiritual master. That is not just an imaginary thing. It is kind of almost mystic, so to say, how the relationship changes when one accepts a person as spiritual master. Although prior to accepting a spiritual master, one may have respected a Vaishnava, and one may have given value to the words of that Vaishnava. But when one is actually taking initiation, then Krishna accepts that relationship. And thus, the spiritual master truly becomes the via media for the disciple. The instructions of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna is coming through the spiritual master, and also the other way. The service is offered back through the spiritual master to Krishna. Thus, the spiritual master, his preferences are the preferences of Krishna. As simple as that. It is the likes and dislikes expressed by the spiritual master are the likes and dislikes of Krishna. And Krishna honors that relationship. Spiritual master, of course, has a great responsibility to thus act as a representative of Krishna in the Parampara, and cannot just act whimsical according to his own ideas, but rather should faithfully try to represent Krishna. Thus, he must be learned in scriptures. Thus, he must represent these scriptures. He must live according to such scriptures, teach them, and thus he becomes the person Bhagavat. A disciple should duly test the spiritual master to see that that spiritual master is indeed adhering to the scriptures as much as one can verify that. And at the same time, the spiritual master should test the disciple, a candidate disciple, to see if that person is sincere, according to the Bhagavad Purana. It said at least for 1 year. So, all that is behind us. All that is preparation. All that is complete. The initiation is also very important, because once a person takes initiation, you can never be an ordinary person again. There's no such thing as being an ordinary human being again, because at that point Krishna consciousness becomes the priority. That becomes the most important thing in one's life. That is what one's vowing. One's vowing basically, dear Krishna, I'm giving my life to you. And there's not really any chance to take it back. The vows are also not just made to the spiritual master, but the vows are really made to Krishna, because the spiritual master is just the representative of Krishna, always. Thus, the vows are actually made to Krishna and cannot be taken back at any time. So it is a great responsibility. It is a great responsibility. But of course, a wonderful moment, really. A moment that we say, leave it all behind, Brad. Goodbye, material world. No more. Enough, yeah. It's been enough. How many lifetimes we don't know. How many entanglements we don't know. How many attempts to be happy in the material world we don't know. And did it work? Not really. Sometimes, for a little while, it seemed to work, but then it didn't last. So, thus, when we have the good fortune that we've lost our faith in the material energy, in material happiness, then we become wise. Attraction to the material energy, Srila Prabhupada says that it is very, very strong. A living being, as long as one is in the embodied state, can become attracted to the material energy. Srila Prabhupada states like, so potent is the material energy. In the initial stage, one at least has no faith in material life. at least no faith that material activities will make us happy. Then we still need, of course, we need shelter, materially speaking, and we want it to be a little suitable and this, that, but that's not so important. That's not, but when we think that the material energy will really make us happy, then we have faith. Then we are in Maya. Then we are Maya. Then we are in illusion. Because the material energy will never make us completely happy. It is not possible. It cannot be done. Sometimes enjoyment is mistaken for happiness. It is enjoyment in the material world. Lots of sun. It's like the prices of cars are going up. Yeah. What to do? Prices of houses are going down. Recession has set in. Where is the happiness in the material world? Love in the material world. But it's not eternal on the material plane. Whatever affection is exchanged, it is not eternal. So we should not believe in material happiness. That's the beginning. And on the strength of that faith, we can be firm in our spiritual practice. But then comes the next stage, the stage where one must fill the heart with service to Krishna. And as the heart becomes more and more filled with service to Krishna, nothing else can enter. And there's just no room. Like filling up a well, if we have a big well, and the heart is compared to a well, one can fill the well up with rocks, and then later one can put smaller rocks that get in between the big rocks, and then sand, and then it's full, and nothing can go in. So in this way, service should become our meditation. Everyone has talents, and Srestha Rupa has talents. One of the talents is making outfits for the deities. I just heard you make this one. That's very nice. That's very nice. And, nice. Exotic. That's an important service because it reveals Lord Chaitanya. Dressing the deities is not just a matter of decorating them, but it is a matter of revealing their nature, right? Of revealing their glory. Krishna inspires us in this way. Like, this outfit is definitely. There's a lot of movement in it. There's more. It's not all hanging straight down, but there's movement. So it reflects on the ecstasy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. So in this way, yajan yajan patan patan manapratika, it is said that one should worship the deity and engage others in worshiping the deity. So through blessing, one can engage others in worshiping the deity. So it's very nice. So when the heart fills with service, then that will take over all our thoughts. Just like I'm sure that when you're in the middle of designing something that's like it sort of takes over the thought process. The heart becomes filled with the service. So in this way, the heart should become completely filled with more and more service. And more our heart fills with service to Krishna, the less attractive the material world looks, it becomes more and more insignificant. And that way we become free from the material world. But again and again, we have to fill our hearts by becoming absorbed in service. That is the process of Krishna consciousness. And the chanting remains the very essence of it all. We have to somehow or other return to that and readjust our life to it. In the room where I'm staying here in Stockholm, they had a copy of the Japa Reform notebook, which nowadays is hard to find, and it's rare to find. So I brought it, and I thought I'll just sample a few little things. Krishna doesn't say that if we chant Hare Krishna, we won't have trouble. But he says, if we chant Hare Krishna, and then think of Krishna at the time of death, we may never have to come back again. So that's nice, isn't it? Yes. The chanting of Hare Krishna is not the problem, or the problem solver, which fixes all our problems. And now I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and I'm so happy, so happy. Maybe not. Maybe sometimes so happy, and sometimes not so happy. Sometimes struggling. It is like that. But if you faithfully chant, then at the end of life, surely we can remember Krishna. So that is so important. That is so important, that to remember Krishna at the end of life, until the Narayan Smriti. That is such a crucial moment when we are just there. And suddenly we realize that why wasn't I more serious about spiritual life at that time? At that time, suddenly we feel like, why was I playing around so much? Why was I just not investing more energy into my spiritual life? And thus, we are being reminded now that we must be faithful and faithfully take shelter of the Holy Name. But I would say that the Holy Name is not only helping us at the time of death, at the end of life. The Holy Name is also helping us now in so many ways, actually. Even if we're not at a stage where we can chant in ecstasy, because that's for the liberated souls, then still the chanting is there, and it is the one thing that is with us always. And thus, the Holy Name becomes our friend, really, our friend. Wherever we are, the Holy Name is there. Whatever happens, the Holy Name is there. As I am traveling around the world, I've chanted in so many situations. In Africa, when suddenly I saw the face of a lion in front of my window. Not a real one. It was the lion painted on the back of the Sankirtan bus, which they parked in front of my window while chanting Japa. But anyway, my point is that I've chanted Japa in so many situations. In Australia, we were on traveling Sankirtan, that means we were distributing books and traveling around and staying in a van. And we stayed at this, we parked at this racetrack for horse races. And we stayed there for the night. It was a nice spot. And then in the morning, we each took a track and we chanted our rounds, walking in the traps. Those quite nice. I still remember those rounds. So many rounds chanted in so many situations. But that was always there, the holy name. And the holy name is there. So, and the holy name is Krishna. So, the holy name becomes our friend. It is the one thing that we always have. And it becomes unthinkable, a day without chanting. It's impossible. So it is very nice. So I would think the holy name adds a shelter for us also in this life. It adds a lot. If you just try to let go of your different plans and material desires, and let the chanting work, so many realizations will come, and you will feel very attached to the holy name and to this process. So this is nice. This is optimistic, you know, approach. We have to let go. Let's just become absorbed in the chanting. Now let us just leave material things. Maybe it's not always possible like that, because like yesterday I spoke of struggling and chanting and how the environment is not supporting us. But if we create a favorable condition for chanting, then the chanting becomes more and becomes also very more rewarding to chant. So let us try and make sure we are rested. I was speaking yesterday how I was trying to chant on the plane and how it was very difficult because, especially on the 15th round, I said it took me 2 hours. And I was falling asleep on that one quite a bit. I was very tired. It was a 27-hour journey. So I was sort of at the end of the journey and I was sort of like chanting. And then at one point I thought I had finished the round, and then I thought, but did I really chant it actually? Did I actually, or am I just imagining that it's finished? So then I started again in the beginning, same round. That happened a few times, but it was kind of desperate chanting yesterday on that plane. That can happen. But today was just the opposite, because I had time. I first took enough rest, so I was fit, I was ready, and there was no distraction. It was just very nice. Well, it started a little late, didn't matter. It was very nice. So, we need to create favorable conditions for chanting. To bed means early to rise, and early to rise means there's time for chanting. So early to bed is really so important in spiritual life. Those evening hours are just flying by, and we don't really achieve that much. It's the morning hours are really much more valuable, and it's so much better. We save time at night, sleep. And rise early, because then we can automatically gender. That may also mean to slow down on heavy meals at night and so many things. All arrangements for good chanting. You know, Srinivas is going to put a terrible piece of cake on the table in the room. Staying across by last night, it's a bizarre piece of cake and not going to take it. No. They always want. So, like, we make arrangements to somehow or other protect our chanting, to improve our chanting. If one chants and accepts the holy name as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. During the chanting of the holy name, the tongue must work. The tongue is sevamukhe jivat. It is controlled by service. Chaitanya, Charitamrita. Once the tongue is controlled, the other senses also become controlled. The mind becomes controlled. So, I wanted to especially stress the chanting of the holy name. Because I was thinking, well, what am I going to add with this initiation? And I wanted to add with this initiation really a great emphasis on chanting. No matter what, that was the inspiration I got, that, that this time I should stress the importance of the holy name. Of course, I could stress that for everyone, but still with each person sometimes one may speak on a different aspect. But if we invest in the chanting, then that's our foundation, and everything else will come from there. So, since I had the book in the car on the way here to Balasvam, I also spoke about the chapter 4 book, and it's a very nice book, and I let in a few little things already. And he asked, well, and what about reading? Is reading also important? And of course, reading is very important, because through reading, we understand so much more about Krishna. We hear more about Krishna. And thus, the name gets new meaning. Just like if we read about the qualities of Krishna, then automatically after that, when you chant Krishna, you also remember Krishna. As I said, like, I gave the example that somewhere in my first contacts with the holy name, I don't know if it was the very first time, but in the beginning, I came to this music workshop, which was going on somewhere. There was a piano player, and he was having some workshop, and I went because I like music and I played guitar, so I brought my guitar. And then he wanted to play ragas, so we played ragas and we followed the ragas, and then he started mantra, and before we knew it, he started the Maha Mantra. So at that time, I was thinking that this is some sort of spiritual sound. It's very powerful, I thought. This mantra is a spiritual sound. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I thought it's like, a very powerful spiritual sound. That's what I was thinking about it. And I didn't think much more. Now, if you say Hare Krishna, as soon as I hear Krishna, I think all kinds of things. I'm saying to Balasvam, maybe I'll think of Krishna's flute. Because how can you think of Krishna and not think of a flute? And as soon as you say flute, then I think of so many things. Then I think of Krishna, who is calling his cows with the flute. Yes, and they all come running. So, yes, Krishna, he's not really working. It says, Krishna, natasya karyam karanam sadhijate, that Krishna doesn't have to work. Not Krishna. Say, yeah, but isn't herding cows, isn't that hard work? So, no, it's easy. Krishna just calls them with his flute, and they are leaders, and they themselves bring their herds together, And then they come to Krishna, and then Krishna reminds them and says to them, your calves must be very hungry. And then all the cows immediately want to go home. So they quickly go home. So it's not difficult for Krishna to herd his cows. No work at all. So now if you say, Krishna, I remember such things. Before, I had no idea. I thought Krishna was some sort of the Hare Krishna mantra was a powerful spiritual sound. Now I know there is a personality whose name is Krishna, who is no different from his name. Now I know he has lotus eyes, lotus feet, lotus hands, lotus navel. Now I know. And so many things about Krishna. Thus, if we hear about Krishna, this hearing about Krishna will very much deepen our understanding of Krishna. So, the hearing is enhancing the chanting. So these two go hand in hand. It's one needs to hear and read both to enhance the chanting, and the chanting again enhances our hearing. And in this way, our remembrance of Krishna is increasing, and thus our heart becomes more and more filled with the desire to serve Krishna, and thus all material desires disappear to the horizon of the mind. I sometimes think of that. When I took sannyas, I received it in the Bhaktivedanta Manor in England, and I had left my luggage in Bangladesh. And I'd gone the cheap way, renounced, I was going to take sannyas. So I went by bus, and that means boat. On the way back, I was sitting on the boat, and I was looking at the ocean, just taking a sannyas, sitting there with my danda on the deck, and one devotee with me. So I'm quoted to that devotee, Apuryamanama chalapratistam apasamudra pravisanti yatvat tavat kamaya pravisanti sarve sashanti apnoti makam kamami, which is the verse describes that all the desires are flowing like rivers into the ocean, but the ocean is not affected by it due to its fullness. The ocean is not affected. So I was meditating on that verse after taking sannyas. Then we went across by boat and we came to France, and the first thing the customs did, they said that I had a false passport and they confiscated my danda. Krishna. And a big fight with them, and eventually got the danda there. Yeah. Krishna. No, it's okay. Oh. Okay. Anyway, this verse of Apuryamana Achalata, this realm of the rivers flowing in the heart, speaks about the fullness of the heart. Anyway, so I was thinking about, just our consciousness is like an ocean, and in the beginning, material desires are in the center of our mind, but then gradually, due to devotional service, Krishna takes over, and the material desires are sort of pushed outwards, and they sort of go towards the horizon. They become smaller. There's a distance. And one day, they just go over the edge. And it's flat, It's flat. So once they're over the edge, they fall down. They fall off and never come back. So don't worry. They'll go away. Thus the devotee's main concern is not the material desires. It certainly is a struggle. In the beginning, you see, someone may come to Krishna consciousness and may think that this Krishna consciousness is very nice and really like the understanding how we should not be selfish, but how everything should be done as a sacrifice, the service of Krishna, completely selfless. Now, that appeals, and many of us feel the calling, and then Prabhupada says, yes, we must just become pure devotees to Krishna, or Krishna, and then we take it up. But in the beginning, we still feel also, we feel attraction to both, to Krishna and to the material energy. And that gives us fear. And gives us fear, can I make it? Can I really do it? So this dilemma where one has attraction to both, to Krishna and to enjoying material nature, is a big dilemma. And I'll bring that dilemma to the sacrifice now, because I feel that in the sacrifice, we must, in the vows that we are making, we must go beyond that. We must choose for the Krishna side of things. Alone, we can never do it. We can never give up the material energy. We know it's not worth it, but still, we can't always ignore. Alone, we cannot do it. The Krishna himself says, Daivi is the Gunamai Imamamaya Gurajaya. He says, surrender unto me. By his divine energy, you can become free from it if you surrender unto me. So, Krishna can lift us above. He delivers us from the influence of the material. So we always take shelter of Krishna. That is what we have to do. And we have to arrange our life like that. That we somehow or other are focused on Krishna a lot. Chanting, worshipping the deity, offering what we eat, beginning the day, bowing down, all these things that we must we must follow this whole culture. The Hari Bhakti Vilas said in the early morning one should recite some prayers. Or the holy name, that is a prayer of course. And I try to postpone any material influence as long as possible. I try to not hear any mundane sound vibration. I try to not, just like this morning, people wanted to speak to me, but I was late with my rounds. I must first chant my rounds, otherwise I cannot speak. That's too much. It's like I cannot get all these things in my consciousness before I've chanted. So like that, we keep some time in the day for a very pure and transcendental energy. Well, today we're having initiation, but we're also combining it with a normal nature. I also want to. Before we carry on, are there some questions? Anyone have a question?
What about this temple in France and in China? What was the problem?
Well, France is a country that had difficulties with our Krishna movement, because they put the Hare Krishna movement on a blacklist of dangerous sects, and they have a whole list, and they're educating their kids in school about dangerous cults and sects, and they consider us very dangerous.
Yeah.
Yes.
If the first step is not initiated,
yes,
his devotion becomes and his faith tentative, and we should be born with the seed.
Well, if a person is not initiated in his devotion and his entire mood and dedication to Krishna are equal to one who is taking initiation, then is there a difference? Well, there is a difference. What happens at the time of initiation is that the candidate is making a commitment, yeah, wholeheartedly. So maybe someone who is not initiated can also, in his own heart, make a similar commitment and say, yes, I will give my life to Krishna, I will be pure, I will follow standards, and so on. So what is the difference? The difference is that at the time of initiation, the spiritual master also makes vows. He makes vows to do anything he can to deliver that disciple. So he's adding his service to the service of the disciple. And the spiritual master obviously has rendered substantial service, and thus he has substantial sukriti or credits with Krishna. So he adds his sukriti to the sukriti of the candidate. Then the spiritual master, because he sits there as the representative of the entire parampara, he is also invoking the blessings of the parampara. Yeah. And because by surrendering to one spiritual master in the line, one is basically surrendering to the whole parampara. And thus one is getting the blessings of the parampara. Like, for example, we are the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the intimate associate and disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are known as Rupa Nugas. He has taught us the process we are following. And I am very careful as a representative in the line of Rupa Goswami to teach according to his instructions. Thus we are also invoking the blessings of Rupa Goswami. In this way we are invoking the blessings of all the previous acharyas, of Srila Prabhupada, of his spiritual master and so on. Thus, it is like this. It's like we have to go to the skyscraper, we're in a skyscraper and we're going to the top floor. And it may be over 100 floors. And in the beginning, we are walking up the staircase. But with initiation, what happens when we come to floor number 10, after climbing all those staircases, there is a spiritual master who takes us in the elevator and takes us straight to floor number 40. Just like that. So that leaves the uninitiated person on the staircase, step by step going up. So there's a huge difference. And the initiated person gets lifted up very quick. How is he suddenly at the 40th floor? Because the initiated devotee begins to act according to the instruction of the spiritual master, who starts to give instructions from a higher level. And thus, one's life changes quite drastically. Spiritual master says, not this, that. And that way, the initiation is very important. Our acharyas say that is Jiva Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, points out, says, without, we can again fall down. And several scriptures warn that falling down means we can even again go down into the animal species if we're not careful without initiation. But an initiated person is somehow or other saved from that. The last but not last point then is, of course, but one must avoid offenses. One. And thus, we are thinking about what are offenses. Offenses are types of behavior, disrespectful behavior. Disrespectful behavior to the holy name, to the devotees, to Krishna, to the deities, to the paraphernalia of related to Krishna. We must remain respectful. That is very important. We must be careful to be respectful. This is so there are certain rules, of course, given in offenses to avoid. And actually, if we just work on that, that's of more crucial importance than trying to conquer our material desires. Yeah. Conquering material desires, that goes automatically if we somehow or other avoid committing offenses. So, I can of course list the 10 offenses mentioned in the Padma Purana, but I will not make it very long now. So I think just the Rupa knows that. The main thing is, as I said, to be respectful to the devotees, to the scriptures, to the deities, to the holy name, and in that way, one can avoid the offenses. And that is what I would like is that you first offer obeisances to me and then to Srila Prabhupada and then come back. This ugly thing is in the middle for the picture. It's not like a nice picture. If I move it aside for a second for the picture. Okay.
Okay, so what are the four regulative principles that you are reconfirming to follow for the rest of the year?
No,
it's
sex. No, fish.
And what is the minimum number of rounds that you are promising to chant every day? I couldn't make up my mind whether I would add something to your name or would make some change in the name, and but in the last 5 minutes I just decided that I will change something. And, so let me first do it. And then. So your name is Nama Rupa Devidas. By changing the name to Nama Rupa, we are talking about Krishna in the form of his holy name. And I think that that's like even enforcing the inspiration that Krishna gave me in this matter to stress the chanting. I think that's the key to making your life successful, making this initiation successful. Thus, now I'm going to do this. Any questions? Come on. Okay, well then, what remains is a fact. You have a big bag? Or
I can have it on my
you can put it on the table. But watch. Yeah. The yajna is of course not essential. The initiation is already complete without the yajna in one sense, but the yajna is at the same time very wonderful because we're chanting the mantras of the of various great personalities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're chanting the mantras of Srimati Radharani. We're chanting mantras of all the various great acharyas in our line, the spiritual masters. So in this way, by each by chanting this, we are making it very clear
very clear who we are surrendering to. And Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami explains that it establishes the Mangala Charan, that is what these mantras are called, establishes the purpose, the goal. So the goal is to dedicate our life to them, like it is said, without following the six Goswamis, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says one cannot be successful in spiritual life. So yes, we're taking shelter of these acharyas and we're asking for their blessings. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Sanatana Goswami, then Sanatana Goswami received all the instructions of spiritual life. And Sanatana Goswami, after getting all the instructions, he was then asking Lord Chaitanya for one blessing. He said, "Now please bless me that all your instructions will be manifested within my heart." So we're invoking all these blessings also in this yajna, so that all the mercy and all the instructions may manifest in your heart. And thus, although the initiation is complete, this is certainly a tremendous blessing. So, not just an ordinary thing. We begin. Then, we will light the fire, and meanwhile we can maybe have a soft kirtan in the back while I offer a little arati to the fire also.
Thank you.
Mahayana
Mahayana
Jnanasya
Jnanasya
Jnanana
Jnanana
Salakaya
Salakaya
Chakshur
Chakshur
Unnitam
Unnitam
Yena
Yena
Tasmai
Tasmai
Shri
Shri
Gurudeva
Namaha
Namaste.
Namaste.
Sarasvati.
Namo Hano, Namada.
Srimadratnagara.
Srimadratnagara.
Simhasanasto.
Simhasanasto.
Srimadrada.
Srimadrada.
Shila Govinda Devo. Vestalidi.
Vestalidi.
Sivyamano.
Sivyamano.
Smarami.
Smarami.
Swaha.
Namo,
Namo
Brahmanya,
Brahmanya
Devaya,
Devaya
Go Brahmana,
Go Brahmana
Hitaya cha,
Hitaya cha
Jagat Hitaya,
Jagatitaya
Krishnaya,
Krishnaya
Govindaya,
Govindaya
Namo Namaha,
Namo Namaha
Swaha,
Swaha,
Swaha.
Thank you.
So sit down for a few minutes, and they say in the airlines, in case of emergency, you have to go low, there's less smoke. he's going to try and take the smoke out. How about carrying the whole tray? Isn't that easier? No? Okay, you know what you're doing.
Go out of it.